The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 15th, 2017 in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadhaita Savaduta Varijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamcha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Vishatarine. So today is the most auspicious initiation ceremony. Srila Prabhupada speaks about initiation, the importance of initiation, in the Nectar of Devotion introduction. He speaks as writes as follows. Similarly, we can offer many services with our bodily activities, but all such activities must be in relationship with Krishna. This relationship is established by connecting oneself with the bona fide spiritual master, who is the direct representative of Krishna in the siddhic succession. Therefore, the execution of Krishna conscious activities with the body should be directed by the spiritual master and then performed with faith. The connection with the spiritual master is called initiation. From the date of initiation by the spiritual master, the connection between Krishna and a person cultivating Krishna consciousness is established. Without initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, the actual connection with Krishna consciousness is never performed. Therefore, initiation is required. If one wants to become connected with Krishna, initiation is mandatory. It's not an option. Krishna explains in the Adi Purana, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktashta te jana, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. Name bhaktas. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. When I first was associating with ISKCON, I was thinking I would not become a disciple. I would just be Krishna conscious in my own way. I was actually stubborn on this point, very stubborn. Devotees kept preaching to me that I should get initiated. I was thinking, no, 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 no. But then one day, a wonderful thing happened. We got some radio station handed us this record album called the Radha Krishna Temple album. It had been sent out by Apple Records as a promotional of this new album to play on the radio stations. But the radio station didn't want it. They thought it was too spiritual, I guess. So he handed it to us. Here, you guys might like this. He handed us on Harinam, his record album. Boy, did we love that album. We didn't even know that George Harrison was doing all this, but it was amazing. And the second cut on the album went like this. Of course, you all know the first cut. Govindam Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. It's a standard part of our ISKCON worship now every morning. But the second cut was also very nice. Samsaradava Nalalita Loka Tranayakar Yunyagana Ganadvam Praptashyakayana Gunanavasya Vande Guru Sri Chadanada Vindam. So here I was, a holdout. No, I'm not going to get initiated. I mean, I was chanting 16 rounds, you know, following the principles, but no, I'll just do Krishna consciousness my own way. But I heard this song sung by the London devotees in our London temple, and I was just amazed. There was you could sense the love they had for Prabhupada. You see, they'd given themselves as eternally to Prabhupada. That I'm your eternal servant. You are my master for all of eternity. They'd totally given themselves to the spiritual master. And there was so much love coming from out of their hearts, you could hear it in their voices. So I realized these devotees, you see, they're licking the honey, and I'm licking the outside of the jar. You see, by taking initiation, you take the lid off the jar, and your tongue goes right there in the honey, you see. By not getting initiated, you're on the periphery, you're licking the outside of the jar, but there's not much honey out there, if any, at all. Is it? So I, being an envious person, my nature, my heart was flooded with this wonderful feeling. This thought just filled my brain. They were singing Vande Guru Sri Chadanada Vindam with such love. I was just thinking, and the tears came streaming down my face. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And that was it. When can I get initiated? Well, you gotta wait now. And I was in anxiety because they said Prabhupada's an old man, he can leave at any time. And oh boy, I was in so much anxiety. I was so afraid that I'd miss the chance. Yeah, but by Krishna's grace, I got that opportunity. So now Prabhupada has given me and his other disciples, he's given us his duty to initiate disciples. Actually, it's stated in Prabhupada's books, the one who is now the disciple, he's the next spiritual master. So it's not that I have any great qualifications, but this is my duty as a disciple, someone who is strictly following Prabhupada. It's my duty to accept disciples. Some people say, well, Prabhupada will keep accepting disciples. Everybody become Prabhupada's disciples. But Prabhupada told us in November of 1977, he said, I will not accept any more disciples. He cut it off, boom, cut. And then he said, now they should become the disciples of my disciples. That was his order. So on Prabhupada's order, therefore, I'm doing my duty to expand the movement, you see. Actually, our mission is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. We can't stand to see a world where people are eating meat, where they're murdering babies in the abortion clinics. We want to create a revolution on this planet. To do that, we have to initiate a lot of people. We have to create a whole army of devotees all over the world, thousands. We want at least, what was the statistic? 50 or 60 million, yeah. Prabhupada, see, the world population is 7.4 billion. And Prabhupada said, if we can just make 1% of that Krishna conscious, or not even 1%, then the whole world will become peaceful. So 1% of 7.4 billion is 74 million. And slightly less would be 50 or 60 million. So our goal is we want to initiate 50, not me alone, but obviously, but all of our, within ISKCON, we want to initiate 50 or 60 million new devotees and train them how to strictly follow Prabhupada. If we do that, there will be world peace. World peace. There will be no more wars, the abortion clinics will shut down, the slaughterhouses will shut down, and it will be like a paradise on this planet. So how many initiating gurus do we have in ISKCON? Maybe
about 100.
About 100, so if each of us take our share of 50 million, that would be, how many per head?
500,000.
So my goal is 500,000 initiated disciples. That's my quota, 500,000, half a million initiated disciples. So my disciples now, you have to expand. Do your share to bring more and more devotees, you see. So in this way, if every ISKCON guru can bring half a million, it'll be big, you see. So Prabhupada wanted us to explain a very important thing at these ceremonies, and that's the 10 offenses. Because if you can chant Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not go back to God if you're committing the offenses, you see. So it's very important you learn how to chant without offense. So let's look at those 10 offenses and see and figure out what we can do to avoid them. The first thing is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Some say, well, I'll just avoid the association of devotees and I won't blaspheme them. That doesn't work. You have to learn how to love and respect all the Vaishnavas. Even if there's a difference of opinion sometimes on different things. Someone say, well, I think the deities should wear red today. Someone said, no, they should wear blue. You see, there's difference of opinion sometimes. But still, we love and respect everyone, even though we have some difference of opinion. Because the more you love the devotees, the more your love for Krishna becomes manifested. So it's not simply avoiding offenses. You have to, the positive side, you have to learn how to love and respect all Vaishnavas, the first thing. To consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Especially in India, those of us who grew up as Christians or Jews, we always had a monotheistic conception of God anyway. But people from India often think there's many, many gods. Yes, all the gods are the same. But that's a great offense. Krishna is not one of the gods. He is called Deva Deva. He is the god of all the gods. It's important. It's absolutely essential that one knows that difference. It's chanting Kali Kali or Durga Durga is not the same as chanting Krishna Krishna. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So that means you actually have a spiritual master and you obey him. That's the meaning of the third item here, third offense. Yeah, just like if you're not avoiding illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling, then you're disobeying the order of the spiritual master. So One has to follow his orders. The initiation vows has to be followed strictly. It's not an option. To blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, we have to have all respect for the Vedic literature. To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. It's like those who study Sanskrit, they say, well, Krishna means black, and black signifies ignorance. So actually, Krishna means ignorance, you see. You can't use mundane scholarship to understand what is Krishna. You have to understand from the acharyas. Krishna, the sound vibration Krishna, is Krishna himself. That supreme person, Golokera Harinama, Golokera Premananda. What is that? Golokera Harinama Sankirtana. Krishna, that holy name of Krishna, has descended from the spiritual world to bless us with love of God. So we have to have all respect for that holy name. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. It's like saying, well, I really feel like doing something I shouldn't do tonight, but I'll make chance some extra rounds to make up for it. No, you cannot do that. You have to strictly avoid sinful activities. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, karma kanda. You chant for some material purpose, you see. Like my kids are going for their finals now, so I'm chanting extra rounds for my kids to do well in their finals. Do not do this namaparat. If you want to do well in their finals, you make them study the whole semester. Not you let them do whatever they want, and the last day I'll chant some extra rounds to help them on their final. Do not do that. That's using the holy name for material purpose. Do not do such things. You will not develop love of God if you use the holy name like that. You will not. Absolutely will not. To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Thus people say, then why we should preach them? We shouldn't go out and preach. They're all faithless. But no, try to see exactly what's stated here. You shouldn't tell them about the glories of the holy name. You should tell them other. We go out and preach to everyone, but the glories of the holy name is a high-level topic. You save that for when they're really to hear that. You can tell them, read this book and you'll get transcendental bliss. You have to preach according to the audience. You don't go above their head. You have to learn how to, just like I went to a Christian church one time and I preached in such a way that they were in bliss. I didn't tell them about the glories of the holy name. Actually, I glorified Lord Jesus because he's actually a pure devotee. I give a long talk about the glories of Lord Jesus, and they were in complete bliss. They were like, they were just in bliss. They had big smiles on their face. And then I said, but with you all, we have a beef. Now, your word, the beef has a twofold meaning. It means an argument also. It means that I said, but with you all, we have a beef. And then I gave a long pause and wondering, what is he going to say? I said, and that is the beef. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and you all are eating meat. I got on their case. But I said, they were so mellowed out by hearing the glories of Jesus, and then I said in a very poetic way, you know, I thought it was really a cool poetry. And they were all smiling. I told them that this eating meat was wrong, and they still were smiling. Wow, that's really cool. You have a beef, and that's the beef, and so in this way, you have to learn how to preach according to your audience, you see. You see, Prabhupada said, if you simply present these teachings as they are, intelligently, you can convince anybody, even an atheist, to purchase these books. So one has to learn how to speak according to the audience, not just start spouting off some esoteric things about the name, about Krishna and his name are one and the same, and they're not ready for that yet. That's the point. Number 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names. But to maintain material attachments, whoa, that's a tough one for us, isn't it? We're all materially attached, isn't it? Anybody here completely free from material attachments? Raise your hand. We all admit we're all materially attached. So we have to understand we're materially attached. And how do you get rid of material attachments? You have to become more and more attached to Krishna, you see. The more you become attached to Krishna, your material attachments just gradually melt away. Because why? Because Krishna is more attractive than anything this material world has to offer. Millions and billions of times more attractive than anything this material world has to offer. So just, my dear ladies and gentlemen, just try to fall in love with Krishna. That's all you have to do. Just try to fall head over heels madly in love with Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya said, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me, in all conditions, he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's the mood we have to develop. You see, that's the mood we have to develop. And then, of course, it's offensive to be inattentive while chanting. There's different types of inattentive chanting. There's one called radar japa. You know, you're chanting, you're going, you're sitting, you're chanting, and you see, well, who's coming to the temple today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Somebody has walked in, oh, look, there's Bhakta Sam over there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, called radar japa. Checking out the scene, you know, what's going on here at the temple today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. Radar japa, that, don't do radar japa. And there's dive bomber japa. Some of us have trouble with this one. You know, we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Dive bomber japa. That one's not good. And then there's also a jabber japa. Hare Krishna, how you doing, Prabhu? Rama, Rama. What's happened over there? What time's Pishadam? Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Japa is just your time with Krishna. Just like if I'm having a meeting with you and then I try to talk to somebody on the side in the middle of my meeting with you, it's rude. You wanted to talk with me, but I'm talking with somebody else at the same time, trying to carry on a conversation with this devotee over here while I'm talking to you, and this devotee here also while I'm talking. See, if you've come to meet with me, then I just talk with you, you see. So Krishna has actually come to bless you with his association. He's come all the way from Goloka Vrindavan right here to Brampton, Ontario, to bless you with his personal association. So how are you going? So you should give him your full attention. Reciprocate with him. You understand? So this is very important. And then we'll conclude on a wonderful quote given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada on the 5th of January, 1974 in New Dwarka, Los Angeles. I was just there before I came here. A very wonderful temple. Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Goroshvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instructions of the spiritual master, then you become deathless. No more death. So these initiates now will take their vows very seriously. Then they, at this moment, when they get those beads, at that moment they enter into eternal existence. They achieve immortality from that moment of getting the beads. It's a very auspicious thing when they get those beads. When the bead goes from the hand of the spiritual master to the disciple, that moment they actually enter into immortality. It's a very, very big thing. We're going to have pictures taken of the moment. So, that being said, now, all of you all should, those who are initiated, you should take your vows very seriously, because if you disobey the order of the spiritual master, you're ruining your immortality. You're coming back to the realm of mortality. But if you remain loyal to your Guru Maharaj, you live in immortality already, even in this body. You're living in immortality. And those who are not yet initiated, well, get ready, because this is what you need to do. If you want to get out of the cycle of birth and death, you have to take diksha, initiation. Prabhupada explains that the foundation of this bhakti yoga system is described in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and be fully obedient to the bona fide spiritual master. So do you understand these points? Do you understand? These things have to be done. I'm talking to you. These have to be done. Otherwise your human life is spoiled. You see, please heed these points and follow these points. So we'll go ahead and stop here and continue. And now I'll continue with the most auspicious initiation ceremony. Hare Krishna.